This meeting is being recorded.
All right, we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds News. And this is episode 9. Just trying to get all the pop-up. Why is this private? This should not be private. Let's see. Why is this private? No, this should not be private. All right, I'm going to stop and restart.
Oh, okay.
It was coming through as private, so I'm not sure exactly why.
Why it's not doing it publicly?
Exactly.
Huh.
Let's try this again. One more time. Oh, I wonder if because I named it as Anna Shoots Who. All right. They don't like the word shoots.
Oh, yeah. Violence. Violence. We can't have that.
Okay. Public. Okay. Go live. Okay. And it looks like we're finally up and running live. And it is okay. And it is public. The chat is open. All
Yay!
Right.
Hello.
Welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds News Episode 9. I am Vinny. This is Christy. Christy, you attended a special event over the weekend, didn't you? Tell us all about it.
I did. I kind of kept it hush hush because, you know, haters on Twitter, but whatever. I attended the Staten Island GH Dinner with the Stars by Dino with Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. We put it on. It was incredible. It is very expensive, but I cut costs elsewhere. Believe me, I'm like a cheapskate, so I usually don't spend that much money on something like that. But it's Becky Herbst, and I do anything for Becky. I told her straight up, I was like, look, anything for Becky. I will drive to New York, I will get a rental car, I will have a janky, sketchy Airbnb that I can't sleep at for you, Becky. I will do anything for Becky. So it was a wonderful trip. It kind of started off on the wrong foot because I forgot my phone charger. And then I found out that there was no overnight parking near my Airbnb. And I had a bunch of little issues that popped up. But the event itself was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I would recommend it to anybody. Uncle Vinny's, the private dinner events. You really get your money's worth. It's great because I wanted an actual conversation. And right. Not just like, hello, goodbye, nice to see you, 30 seconds, a minute, whatever, goodbye, which I knew was going to be the case if I went to like the meet and greets in New Jersey or Connecticut. Like, it was just a hello and goodbye situation. So I wanted more than a hello and goodbye. And you know, you pay a good amount for that, but I mean, it's worth it. So I'm happy. And, you know, it was kind of a last minute ask, but I asked Becky to do a video for the liaison fans that I posted on my Twitter at Liaison Radio. It's also on my Instagram, and it was great. Like, she's like, oh, well, you should be in the video. And I was like, okay. And then I, you know, we did the video, and she was really great and gracious about it. And so I posted all the notes that I took because there was also Ava Mora. And Mora West and Lisa Lo Cicero, who plays Olivia, because someone tweeted me, it was like, Lisa. I'm like, yeah, Lisa Lo Cicero, who plays like whatever Olivia. For a second, I was like, let me make sure I have my name right. So, but yeah, I have the notes. I posted them. I screenshotted my notes from the event. I took a few notes, not a lot, but a few. And it was fabulous. So I got some headshots because I wasn't prepared, and I didn't bring like my photo book or anything else like some of these other fans did at my table. I was very impressed. They had like a whole photo book. Like, people really came prepared, and I didn't really. So I was like, okay, I'll just buy photos here. It's fine. And it was great. I mean, they were like $10 headshots, and then they were selling very nice GH hoodies for $45, which I could not afford with everything else I was paying for. But it was amazing. It was really, really great. And I wouldn't go to Staten Island again, just because it's just kind of a transportation issue getting in and out of there on the weekend. Because if you're a New Yorker, you know that Monday through Friday it's fine, but on the weekend getting to like public transportation is not as great on the weekend because it's mainly used Monday through Friday.
Yep.
For people who work in the city and commute. So yeah, that was the only thing. And I had to get a rental car, and the parking on the street was a hassle because it was also the weekend of the New York City Marathon this past weekend. Yeah. So I was why do you have a freaking fan event on the same weekend as New York City Marathon? I was like, no. So, it was okay. It's fine. It ended up working out. But I was just like, I had to decide, when is this bridge going to close? Because I'm taking this Veranzo Bridge to get over to Staten Island. When is that going to close? Am I going to have to leave the event early? And I had to figure all this stuff out. And thankfully, the upper part of the bridge closed early, but the lower half is open until like 4 a.m. I only took the lower part only because I was scared to take the upper part on the way there. And I was on the phone with a friend in the car on the way there. Don't worry, hands-free. But I was still like, I don't know, because it's my first time driving to New York. I might be scared. I might be too distracted by all the lights to, like, you know, drive safely. So I was just like super, you know, cautious. But I saw the wonderful view the next day because I walked to the park by my Airbnb, which is like a mile away. And they had this gorgeous river, East River view. And it was spectacular. I did not sleep a wink in New York City, but that is okay because I was there for Becky Herbst and Maura West and Lisa Lo Cicero, who are like powerhouse women of their own right. So it was great.
So let me ask you, what's the difference, or should I say, what made you decide to do an Airbnb rather than an actual hotel?
Because it's cheaper.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Because I'm a cheapskate. The hotel for this past weekend, we're running like over $200 for like a really good, you know, decent hotel, not like one of those like super like sketchy hotels or motels. Yep. So yeah, I mean, they were running over like $200 for like a really good hotel. It was literally around $200 a night. So I was like, no. And then I made the mistake of my Airbnb not checking out the listing fully. Like, you really got to read through the listings on these Airbnbs, because my room just had a bed and a desk, and it actually had a butcher knife. I had a murder weapon in my room.
Oh, right.
So that was nice. I mean, I guess they figured, you know, single lady traveling on her own, like, let's give her a murder weapon just in case. I don't know if that's what it was, but it was there in a box of Kleenex. But I was like, all I had was Wi-Fi, an AC unit, a bed. I had no TV. So I had to get a phone charger because I was like, I have nothing but my phone to, like, you know, listen to, watch anything, whatever. So I was like, wow. So definitely, if you're going to stay in New York, like in Queens or anywhere in New York, really, and you're going to get an Airbnb, read through that listing very thoroughly. Read the reviews. It was a very old apartment building. It was not like you could hear everything. And then I literally put my head on the pillow right around 3 a.m. And I kid you not, I started hearing doors slamming at 3 a.m. like multiple times an hour for the next like 3 hours. And I sat in bed for like till like 5 a.m. and I was like, I don't think sleep is going to happen tonight. So I'm just going to forget sleep, and we're going to go sightsee this morning, and it's all good.
All right.
Anything for Becky. Anything for Becky.
Well, no, I've never been to Staten Island. Like, I'm a lifelong Connecticut resident, which is hop, skip, and a jump away. I've never been to Staten Island. However, I myself was traveling last week. Went out to Zanesville, Ohio on Wednesday. I was consulting on a hotel for the previous management company, for the management company that ran, that previously ran the hotel that I was working for before. And I stopped over in Hershey, Pennsylvania, for a little bit, just on the drive to, cause I, the drive down, drive to Zanesville was about a 10-hour drive. I've never done usually by myself a more than two hours. So I strategically placed my stops, so that I didn't have to drive more than like 2.5 hours at a time. So I stopped in Allentown, to get gas.
That's a good time.
Then I stopped in Hershey, went to Hershey's Chocolate World for about an hour, walked around, bought a bunch of candy. Then my next stop was supposed to be in Washington, Pennsylvania, but that Pennsylvania Turnpike, for those of you that live in Pennsylvania, I give you a lot of credit if you ever have to drive from one side of the state to the other, because that Pennsylvania Turnpike is a long, long drive. From Hershey to Washington, PA was 186 miles on one stretch of highway. So I had to stop at one of the rest areas just to kind of break up the monotony of the route. And then I stopped to get gas in Washington, and then I went on to Zanesville. But then on Saturday, I drove from Zanesville. I drove to Hershey and stayed overnight in Hershey, and went to Chocolate World again and just kind of relaxed. I figured I'd break up the drive back in 2 days instead of just one. Hey, Nathan Banks is here watching. So, hey, how are you?
Hey, Nathan.
Thank you for joining us. I saw the signs for the New York City Marathon on the way back on Sunday, because I was driving through from Hershey up through Jersey, through Pennsylvania, New York, and then in Connecticut. So I did know that it was the New York Marathon. But either way, we both made it safely. You actually had more fun probably than I did. I just had a bad sugar rush from a lot.
Well, that's what happens when you've got all that sugar. You bought it.
Yes. But anyways, we are here to talk about last week, Halloween week, in Port Charles. So So what did you think, first of all, of the kids' Halloween costumes at Kelly's, at Carly's Halloween party?
They were cute. I was like that we were seeing all the kids of GH, you know, on screen. That's always nice, other than just Wiley, because I feel like Wiley's the one we probably see the most.
Yeah.
So we got to see Jake, we got to see Aiden, we got to have Sunny like have that actual conversation with like Elizabeth's kids. Like, this is great. Like, yeah. This is awesome. So I love that. I mean, I think the kids are cute and all. So I like I was fine with the costumes. I even like Michael and Willow's costumes. Like, that was cool. Like, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, even Chase and Brooklyn dressed up.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of their scenes today, but I think, do they have scenes last week? I can't even
fathom
right now.
I didn't see them last week. So
I know
Brooklyn was in a couple of scenes, but I didn't see Chase last week in terms of dressed up. But the biggest question is, where was Violet? And where was...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I saw Rocco dressed up, or obviously, well, Bailey Lou is too young anyways. But there were a couple of kids missing. But other than that, I love the Halloween episodes because they always bring the kids back for that. The biggest shocker was when... Anna came home on Friday, and the big cliffhanger, you see that Charlotte got the keys to her house, got the keys to her new apartment, which, you know, the one thing I have to say is, how did Anna lose her keys so quickly? Like, that was one of my biggest concerns last week. Like,
yeah.
She just got the apartment. She just got the keys from you know, from Maxie, and then
Maxie, yeah.
Like, how did she? I didn't even see where Charlotte could have potentially gotten the keys from her.
I don't. It was all this. It was like out of the blue. Like all of a sudden, she pulls out this key with like the little keychain shoe on it, and she's looking at this key, and Valentine almost catches her with the key, and then Jake's like, oh hey, what is this? And then she's like, this is the key to everything. And I'm like,
yeah.
What are you so cryptic for? What is this? Like, it was just, it was weird. I don't know. The whole thing with Charlotte and her sneaky thievery, whatever she's doing, is just bizarre to me. I think I understand why. Like, she's been brainwashed by
Victor.
What's his face?
Yeah. Victor.
And she's Victor, yeah, sorry. I was blanking on his name. And I'm like, okay, like, so did he, like, give you some kind of agenda in your brain to be doing all this? Like, I'm really a little confused still about all of this Charlotte shenanigans stuff. And now it's just reached a point where it's really crazy because Anna shot Charlotte at the end of Friday. So I was like, man, Valentine's got to get a leash on his daughter. What is going on?
But see, Valentine's in the wrong here. It's Valentine's fault, honestly, for Charlotte getting shot. Because if he was just honest with Anna from the beginning, saying it was Charlotte that broke into your room, so at least she would have kind of been prepared for something, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that. Then Anna would have, I don't know whether, you know, seen the figure and seen how tall it was and maybe thought it would have been a teenage girl or whatever. But I get it. I get the instinct of somebody who's paranoid about being harassed and being stalked, and you come home and your door's unlocked. And not to mention, if you're Charlotte and you're breaking in somewhere, why wouldn't you lock the door behind you? You know, at least then you would hear the keys in the door and be able to hide if somebody comes home. I mean, that's just kind of, but she's a 15-year-old girl. So maybe, so she wasn't necessarily thinking like a seasoned criminal. But again, right. You know, Anna comes home and somebody who's paranoid, somebody who's being stalked and who always carries a, you know, a gun on her because she's a WSB or former WSB agent. And then she sees somebody and Charlotte has a book in her hand and turns around and she gets shot. So I get it completely. Not absolving Anna of anything, but at the same time, I understand.
Right.
But it's still just heartbreaking that it's come to this because Valentine wasn't truthful and wasn't honest.
Yeah. He hasn't been, and he's been keeping things from Anna. And I mean, I'm okay with it happening just because it does give Vanna angst and it's a good storyline. And you can see how much Anna is really in anguish over everything that happened.
Right.
Even today, if you watch today's episode, I mean, it was just, she really is like literally, like you could see it all over her face, and Finola's playing it so, so incredibly well.
Yeah.
So I'm just like feeling bad so much for Anna. I feel really, really bad for Anna. Like Anna's making me feel how she feels, you know, because Finola's just, again, playing it so incredibly well that I'm like in the feels for Anna. Yeah.
Oh, I understand. I'm the same way. I feel like Anna is definitely, you know, Finola is acting the part tremendously well. She's a very talented actor. I don't know. There's just something about it that I feel like this is a twist that I never saw coming. Like first of all, how would Charlotte know that? There's some, well, actually, I take that back. Anna went to Valentine's house and said, I'm subletting Maxie's old apartment. And You know, did she mention about the trunk at Valentine's house? Because I know she had Robert help her over. But I don't remember her saying anything about Valentine. So saying about it to Valentine. So how would Charlotte know, like, kind of what to look for? Why would she break into something that is breaking into her house unless she was planning on starting a fire or desecrating something again? And then she sees the trunk and goes through the books, and who knows what she was looking for. But it goes back to that letter she got from Victor while she was in boarding school. Anna is not who she says she is. Could it be that Anna was killed and this Anna is Alex?
I know. I don't want to believe that. But it's just, it's weird. It's just all weird. I think I'm really thinking Victor must have given her some kind of a game plan to follow for all this stuff she's doing. I can't fathom that she's just doing this like out of the blue. Like, it just seems weird. It's a very weird.
Yeah.
And creepy.
But it comes back to the tarot cards. Like, Victor Cassidy was very, very big into tarot because he not only controlled Drew with the tarot card, he also gave Sam a set of tarot cards. I think the one that had the one to control Drew. And then he gave Charlotte the set of tarot and apparently taught her how to read tarot. So she's getting all of her ideas or plans or, you know, her thought process from the tarot cards, which, again, I don't necessarily, I've never done tarot.
I don't mess with that.
You know, I know people who have. I've never had a reading. I've never learned that much about it. It is something that I would potentially like to find out more about. But again, it's just a form of, I don't know, entertainment, in my opinion. It's more along lines of, yeah, because all the things that, you know, are out there with psychics and everything, it's all for entertainment purposes. Like, the only time I called a psychic, she was actually right. She said, "I see a high phone bill in your future." So, I mean, it did come out, you know, pretty well. So apparently Charlotte is getting all of her directions from these tarot cards, and that was kind of given to her by Victor. So on Monday's episode, you'll see that Anna did shoot Charlotte. I mean, I know that was the kind of cliffhanger, was she shot the bullet and then the person went down, but she really shoot the person. But she did. And so as of right now, Charlotte is in surgery. So we're going with that at this point.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention it. Before we actually move on to the next storyline, late last week, we did get word that Tyler Christopher passed away. The original portrayer of Nicholas Cassadine. He passed away at the age of 50, I think. Was it 50 or 54? No, 50. Matthew Perry was
50. It's crazy that happened so close together, those two guys.
Maurice Bernard was the one that kind of put it out there onto Instagram. He did have battles with substances, but he was sober for a long time at this point. Had a dust up, apparently fell asleep or got belligerent at the airport, was about a year ago or something, and ended up getting arrested for it. But apparently he was he had a cardiac event over this past week and passed away. I think it was on Wednesday. Was it on Tuesday? I think. Very sad times. I know it's hard when an alumni, so to speak, of the show passes away. Especially when the role has been recast, like with Billy Miller and now Cameron Matheson playing Drew. And we know that Nicholas has been recast a couple of times now. You don't want to necessarily say, oh, let's write off the character, because Adam Huss has been doing a fantastic job as Nicholas. But Tyler Christopher, in my opinion, was the first Nicholas Cassadine, and in my opinion, probably was the best. Our condolences, our love, our prayers, and our thoughts go out to the friends, family, and fans of Tyler Christopher. All right. Moving on to some happier notes from this past week. How did you like the math face-off with Leo and Lois? Leo was dressed as Albert Einstein. Apparently, Lois is a very, very good at math. I didn't realize that. A mathematician in her own right. And I was shocked at that, because I was listening to it, and for someone that young to be that good at math for Leo, and then Lois, who, you know, when you listen to her, you think she's just this, you know, fast-talking, you know, Italian woman, you know, realize she's good at math, but holy cow, that was actually enjoyable to watch.
I need to go back and watch this, because I think I might have missed it. Was that on Wednesday?
I believe it was between Tuesday and Wednesday.
Must have missed it. I thought I watched it all, but I must have missed it. I apologize, y'all. This is what I missed. So tell me, what happened? This Leo and Lois thing, it sounds awesome. Well,
apparently Lois is very good at math. I never realized, this is the first storyline that I've ever seen Lois, so I'm still learning about the character myself. But Leo, obviously we know that Leo is on the autism scale, or spectrum, yes, I should say, and he's very, very, very smart. He excels at science and math and that. In that realm of learning. And they were going back and forth, and, you know, Lois would give him a problem that's for a boy his age, and Leo's what, six, maybe? Six, seven? And he was getting them right off the bat, and then they were just going back and forth with different math equations that were, you know, being done in their heads. And it was, for somebody who enjoys math like me, that was actually very fun to watch.
I don't enjoy math. I hate math. I was like, the worst subject. I used to cry over algebra homework, like in high school.
I loved algebra. I loved algebra. I loved geometry. Although when I was a senior in high school, I did opt for the easy A. So instead of going to pre-calculus, I took business math. Yes. Okay. Just look at the chat and, but either way, yes, Nathan, thank you for joining. But either way, that was a fun scene with Leo and Lois, and, you know, it wasn't necessarily a big, day or a big week for a lot of different storylines. We know that Lucy and Ava talked about, you know, having a potential buyer for Windermere. Although Lucy is not doing things correctly. Now, I'm getting my information from the Pier 54 podcast. I'm not knowledgeable in real estate. But Shannon from Pier 54 is a real estate agent or a realtor. I don't know what the difference is. But she said that there are certain times where somebody wants to, apparently this person that wants to buy Windermere wants to pay for it in cash, like not taking out a mortgage or whatever. And when Ava said, okay, well, let's see like some proof of the money, and Lucy's like, well, no, you got to jump on it now before it falls apart. So she's not looking to get any confirmation of this person having the amount of funding to actually pay for it. So there's some, I guess, discrepancies there with how Lucy is being, how Lucy is going as a real estate agent. Do you think that the person trying to buy Windermere is Nicholas? Maybe that's why he's taking out all those sums of money from the bank in Zurich or Geneva.
That's possible, yeah. I mean, wouldn't he want control of and course. Ownership?
Especially considering part of the settlement with Ava was Windermere. And now that, I mean, we know he's alive. Apparently he's keeping track of real estate.
Yeah. Ava doesn't even really care for Windermere anyway, right? Hasn't she said that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Ava would be fine living somewhere else. She doesn't have to live at Windermere. So, I mean, I don't think she would necessarily be heartbroken if she lost Windermere, right?
Right. Here's the thing. It seems like after she found out that Nicholas was alive, now she's kind of changing her tune, as if she wants to hold on to Windermere. Maybe she kind of feels like Nicholas would want to try to buy it back himself, and that kind of nullifies their divorce situation. I don't know. It remains to be seen, and I'm not sure the next time Adam Huss will be on General Hospital or when Nicholas will be back in town. But do you think Ava's having second thoughts? Now she knows that Nicholas is alive. You know, she kind of summoned Austin to her house and said she had to see him right away because, you know, I wonder, did she ask Austin, did you know that he's alive? I don't remember if he
did.
She did ask
her. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, did you know that he was alive? And he lied right to her face.
That's right. Yeah, he did lie. He said no.
Yeah. And
even though he's the one that nursed Nicholas back to health.
Yeah, he lied right to her face.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want this guy with Ava anyway, so that's fine. It's like, forget that. That was a flash in the pan.
But see, here's the thing that kind of makes no sense here. Wouldn't Nicholas, I mean, obviously Nicholas is going to be, Laura said it alone to Alexis when she went to go see her, was when Nicholas comes back, he's going to be facing a lot of charges, you know, keeping Esme prisoner up in the penthouse, the fact where she had to jump off the parapet to get away, which is put everything into cycle now with the amnesiac Esme. we'll get to her in a little while.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of waiting to find out when Nicholas is coming back and how that's going to shape up. But who knows? Maybe it'll be a while.
I kind of almost want him to come back now that Tyler's gone, just to almost like pay homage to what a great, amazing character he is. I want some of the old Nicholas back, though, like how he used to be. Like, he's just, the way the writing for him hasn't really been that great recently. So, I mean, in my opinion, I just find it different. Like, so if we can get it back to a good consistency, I mean, I would like Nicholas to be back because Liz really needs a friend and Nicholas is one of her oldest friends. And I think it would be great to have him back on a regular basis.
Yeah. No, I get it. And it's like, it's another legacy character to have there. And Spencer, I'm sorry, but Spencer really needs to have his father there. They need to have some sort of
reconciliation would be great with those two. I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. But it definitely needs to be started, at least.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the funniest parts of the week had to be Cyrus going into Kelly's trying to get a job at Kelly's, and Carly shooting him down right away, saying, "What the hell are you doing in here?" And it's like, so here's the thing. We know as the audience, Cyrus has not changed. We know that Cyrus is the head of the Gatling gang. And for all we know, he could be the Pikeman boss as well. Although that could be someone completely different working with Cyrus. But see, as far as the people in Port Charles know, Cyrus is giving off this pastor vibe and, you know, saying that he's changed and he's seen the
vibe.
Yeah.
He ain't no pastor.
No. He's a false prophet, that's for sure. But, you know,
he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, that's for sure.
But to see them, you know, it's almost like he's setting it up to the point where he's giving off this good impression as being changed, being saved, whatever you want to call it. And now how everybody is skeptical of him and they're not believing it. It's almost like he's setting it up for a storyline where he does do something horrific. And he said, and he could say, "You people drove me this way, drove me to this because you didn't believe me. You never had faith in me. You never saw the changes I made. So you think I'm this bad guy. Watch what I'm going to do now." And I honestly feel like that he is setting up that kind of story. And, you know, it's similar to, I'm trying to think of it now. It's similar to when Hulk Hogan turned heel in 96 and made the NWO. You know, it's like, you know, you people turned your back on me. And, you know, so you fans can stick it, brother. And it's like that. You know, obviously we know that Cyrus is not who he says he is. But, you know, now it's almost like he's trying to kind of play everybody. Although nobody believes him.
Right. Yeah, I don't think anybody does. I don't think anyone's buying his act.
All right. But Laura and Martin, although Martin is kind of buying it. Martin is buying the act. He's kind of like, you know, I did have, you know, Cyrus did give away all of his money. You know, Laura and Martin kind of sit down and talk about it and talk about him. And Laura is obviously skeptical. But Martin isn't. Does Martin kind of have a soft spot for Cyrus? Is Martin kind of buying into the Cyrus act?
Maybe a little bit. I don't really pay that much attention to Martin to really say one way or the other, but...
Oh, you don't like the spot? Colonel? Right, Colonel?
Yeah, he's not my favorite. He looks like the KFC guy, yeah.
Yeah, the Kentucky Fried Colonel.
Right, exactly. Sorry. No offense to the actor. But just, it's kind of the truth. Sorry.
But, you know, I'm wondering where they're going with Martin's character now. Because we know that he gave up Nina. And he said that, you know, Nina was the one that had him call the SEC. You know, he's kind of... vouching for Cyrus, you know, are they looking to kind of have him run off into the sunset? Because I think he and Lucy are kind of on the rocks at this point. At least, you know, from the conversation, because although Martin did remind Lucy that she doesn't necessarily need a full 51% to run, have the 51% back to be the majority shareholder of Deception. She just needs 2% back. And, you know, he did kind of bring it up that maybe, you know, she should kind of be thankful that she still has part of her company.
Yeah, I mean, I would be grateful. Like, I mean, at least you have 49%. Could be worse, because it was almost worse. I mean, Tracy was offering her much less before, so I understand her, though, because she built that company from the ground up, and then it was gone for like a decade. And even Tracy mentioned it, like, well, your company was gone for a decade, and then you brought it back, and, you know, you should have Sasha back as the face of deception. She made that whole, like, plea, which is great. And I was just like, I understand where Lucy's coming from, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm like, okay, just be grateful you still have your company in some way, shape, or form.
Although I'm kind of wondering, with Tracy being now, you know, being the majority shareholder, getting 51% of Deception, I'm almost wondering what the breakdown was of shareholders between Maxie, Lucy, and Sasha, and who lost what number of shares to pick up the 51% that Lucy has. Like, I'm not, I mean, I own like maybe 1/10 of a person, 1/10 of a stock at this point in time, or a little over, maybe 1/15, or no, 15% of a stock, of a share. So I don't know all the ins and outs of a stock, but I'm assuming that 51% plus 49% is 100%. So where was that 100%, that 51% divvied up? Was it 33% each, and now Maxie, Lucy, and Sasha have to split 49%? So it's going to be, you know, whatever, 13 13 13 or something like that. Well, that'd be 39 and whatever. I don't know. So they still haven't kind of put that out there in terms of where that 51% came from. However, on today's episode, Chase actually told Brooklyn, well, let your grandmother give you Deception and sign it back to Lucy, Maxie, and Sasha.
Good point. But
I honestly feel like Tracy wouldn't actually give up the shares. She'll just, you know, put Brooklyn in charge as CEO or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
In my opinion, that's what would happen, because you know damn well Tracy's not giving up any kind of money or income, or especially knowing that Brooklyn doesn't want it.
Brooklyn, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. Agree.
Again, thank you all for watching. Go ahead and hit the like button, subscribe, get notified, hit the bell to get notified anytime there's a new post or a new upload from Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds Media. Like I said this morning, keep an eye out for new programming. Over the next month or so, I'm going to be starting a cooking show. I love to cook, and I'm going to be starting a cooking show on my own. And you know, that'll be up in the next month or so. Keep an eye out. But also, anytime I do release the daily updates on their Instagram lives, but then I do release them on YouTube and TikTok and everywhere else. All right, moving on. So, Sasha kept her apartment. I thought it was such a cute scene that Cody came over and dressed as a cowboy, and then brought her a witch hat, as if to say, you got to dress up somehow for Halloween.
Oh gosh, it was cute though. You know, I am warming up to them really quickly, and I'm surprised how quickly I'm warming up to them. I'm like wanting them together. Like, I really am truly shipping Cody and Sasha. So it's been, you know, kind of refreshing for me. And I think Cody brings out something in Sasha that maybe wasn't there before, just to like, he's helping her to like have fun again.
Yeah.
As like a human being and enjoy her life.
Yep.
Even though she's lost a lot and been through a lot, he's making her happy, and I'm glad that he's making her happy. And so I hope that continues to develop naturally, and eventually we'll get some more hugs, and then we'll get a kiss, and then we'll enter into the couple era of Cody and Sasha eventually.
I like that they're taking it slow. I like that, because it does feel natural. You know, there are some, like, especially with Brooklyn and Chase, that it could go so slow, it's like molasses paste when you see the chemistry. But with Cody and Sasha, you know, it seems like it's a natural build. It seems like they, you know, Cody had a crush on her, for lack of a better term, you know, really cared about her, didn't want to really acknowledge that he really had feelings for her, but cared about her as a person. And, you know, wanted to help her out as much as he can. He helped her out with the hearth and home situation. And then he obviously helped her get out of the situation with Gladys and Montague. And now they're starting to actually spend time together. And I'm glad that it's going this way. I'm glad that they're not having Cody push a relationship on her. And just,
yeah,
you know, hey, I'm here for you. I want to make sure that you're okay. You know, I care. I want to make sure that you're having fun, you know, and they're not
right.
rushing into a relationship. I'm ecstatic. I like them as a pairing. But I'm glad. I'm just glad they're taking it slowly, because it makes sense. Sasha's been through so much. She doesn't need to have the added pressure of a relationship on top of everything, which is why Cody's like, you know what, we're friends, and you know what, I'm going to be here for you, you know, and then down the road, then we can see them actually get together officially.
I mean, that's how I like couples. That's the couples I kind of ship anyway, is the couples that are friends first, because you build that good foundation.
Yep.
Because if you don't start with that, then like later on you're going to break up, and like you might never ever want to see that person again. So I think it's a good thing that they're starting out.
I absolutely do too. And I like it, because it's going in a good, positive way. Unlike the majority of relationships we see on soaps nowadays. However, that kind of is the complete opposite of the other, you know, major couple that they're devoting a lot of time to, which is a sore subject for you, but Finn and Liz, having their weekend getaway in Vermont. We went over the maple syrup stuff last week, and how it was just, especially with the washing of the hands, was very, very creepy. But, you know, ultimately, they're trying to do something in terms of romantic with Fizz and Lynn. Liz and Finn.
Yeah. I can't with them. I wanted to like them so badly. I told Becky over the weekend too. I wanted a good doctor-nurse relationship. I thought it'd be great. But I can't get past the fact that he's crossed so many boundaries. And everyone commented on that at the dinner I went to. But it was really interesting, because Becky just kind of sat there and listened. Was like, She didn't really comment. And I think that kind of is telling too, that she's probably not one of her favorite pairings either. But I mean, there was like, you know, a Finn and Liz fan at my table, and that's great for them. Kudos to you if you are and you love them, but I just can't. But he's not, I think Franco was the worst. Franco was the worst for me. Finn is almost as bad. but it's okay. Like, I think I told people at my table, I like Franco's at the bottom of my pairing list for Elizabeth, and then it's Finn, and then it's LL2 Lucky, the second version, where it was Jonathan Jackson's Lucky, where he was like a psycho stalker boyfriend. And then Bat. And then, you know, from there it goes up. I think Ewan would probably be after that. Or Ewan. Ewan, whatever his freaking name is. Oh, yeah. But you know who's at the top of my list for Elizabeth, okay? Right. Obviously, yeah. It's Jason. I mean, that was her true love. I honestly feel like after being in love with Lucky as a teenager, that, like, Jason was really her true love after her first love. You know, like, that was the best for her. And I think it's very hard for me to want her with anybody else, because I wanted her with Griffin, and then that was like teased, and then it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, they're not putting anybody with Elizabeth that I've liked in the last probably 7, 8, 9 years. I mean, how long has it been? It's been a long time since I probably really liked her with somebody. So it's sad, because I really liked her when I liked her scenes with Griffin when he was on screen. That was probably the last guy I liked her with. And then that didn't really happen. It didn't come to fruition like I was hoping it would. Yeah. So I'm sorry, Finn and Liz fans. I mean, I'm glad Liz is happy, but I don't know. That love scene, though, it wasn't the worst thing. I was waiting. I was like, oh, am I going to throw up? How cringy is this going to be for me? And it was not that bad. It could have been way worse. It was tastefully done. There wasn't that many clothes coming off. So I was okay. It was okay. It was good for what it was. I'm glad it didn't go too much further. And then I know, actually, Becky did comment on this, that they do have an intimacy coordinator on set. Yeah. So there is an intimacy coordinator. You know, this is all choreographed, right? Yeah. That we see in these love scenes. This is not, you know,
yeah,
sporadic or anything.
Yeah, of course. It's not the old days where you had to kind of fend for yourself. And, you know, it's, speaking of intimacy coordinator, which is, you know, obviously something put in place to protect the actors and everything so that nobody gets too handsy. Listening to Bonnie Burroughs, James Law Jr. actually did two great interviews over the past couple weeks. He did one with Bonnie Burroughs that was released last week. And then he had a interview with Mason's portrayer, Nathaniel, and I gotta get his name so I can give proper credit, GH Dirty Deeds, Nathaniel Gray. But Bonnie Burroughs actually, let it out. And maybe she's talked about it previously, but she was in the movie Hard to Kill with Steven Seagal, and she played Steven Seagal's wife. And apparently, he took advantage of her while they were filming, for intimacy scenes. So, I mean, it's something put in place to protect the actors, because obviously they're not truly in an intimate relationship. So why would you expect that you're going to be getting, for lack of a better term, laid while on a set of a TV show? So yeah, it's all choreographed, and I feel that's the best way for it to be done. Did Becky give any insight into the actual, you know, love scenes? Are there any more coming up? Are there?
No, I mean, she didn't, no one asked that, and I did absolutely didn't ask. She didn't give any teasers about that. No. I hope that's the only love scene they get. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't think I can stomach another. I don't want to see another one personally. I just don't want to. They can do the fade to black thing like them start going towards the bed or something, you know, that's fine. I don't want to see anything else. I'm sorry.
All right. But by the way, yeah, surf on over if you're interested. Surf on over to JLJ Media, both on YouTube and on the GH Dirty Deeds feed for your podcasts. And those two interviews are out now. Bonnie Burrows and Nathaniel Gray, both great interviews. I mean, obviously, James Law Jr. has been in the game for a long time, and definitely gets some really good players for his interviews. And, you know, he and Bonnie Burrows are friends in real life. It just seems like I have to move out to California to kind of get into that whole groove and get into that scene. Although Connecticut, even though California is much more expensive to live in Connecticut. But anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you came up to New York over the weekend, so I could only imagine what prices you saw.
Oh, yeah. New York prices. You can't really change them. So.
All right. We've only got a couple of things left to go over for this week's episode and these week's episodes. Oh, okay. So, riddle me this, Batman. When did Christina and Molly kind of bury the hatchet and get onto the same page?
Oh, yeah. That's so weird. All of a sudden, they're all friendly and stuff, like bonding, you know, with Alexis and like, ooh, pumpkin ice cream. That's great. Like, what?
And, you know, for once, I have to say, Alexis was the voice of the fans and the people as to, wait a minute, am I missing something? I like how she answered the door for Christina. And she's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that was just so
random. Molly know you're here? She's like, yeah, when she invited me.
The whole, I mean, if they had reconciliation off screen, they must have had a reconciliation off screen because we didn't see it.
Right.
Right? I mean, did something happen that I missed? Like, I'm just...
No, I mean, they didn't show anything. It's like, they dropped the surrogacy storyline for a couple of weeks, and then I guess they thought that people kind of forgotten about it. And Christina was on with Blaze and doing, you know, doing some great flirty work with Blaze. And then all of a sudden, it's like, when did she have time to meet with Molly to bury the hatchet? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
That was kind of like something that was sped up, because you got to think, you know, and I've never been in a situation where I've had to worry about a surrogate or whatever. You know, but it's like, I don't know. I thought that entire storyline was screwed up from the very beginning. Like, now granted, the surrogacy storyline is going nowhere as it is, but the fact that they had, what was it, the second Molly who started being so upset with Christina? And then it went to the third Molly, and now we're on the fourth Molly.
It's a mess.
That came out of nowhere. And so it's almost like they kind of rewrote the history and just kind of erased that. They took the neuralizer from Men in Black and said, hey, look here, and zap, you guys are, you know, sisters and in a good place.
Right. Yeah, no, it's just another one of those things where GH does something off screen and then we just have to kind of go along for the ride, right, whenever it, like, you know, picks up on screen. It's just weird.
Exactly. Exactly. It's amazing. All right. Let's kind of get the other couple of little tidbits or pieces out of the way. Adam, played by Joshua Bernard, Maurice's.
Oh, yeah. This creepy guy.
Yeah. Talk about creepy. it's kind of, I'm kind of wondering what kind of storyline they're going with him, because is he stalker? Is he obsessed? What is it?
He's definitely giving me stalker vibes because he's like lurking outside Josh's dorm room on like a daily basis. Like, does this guy sleep? Is he just constantly outside Josh's dorm room? Like, what's going on? Sorry, little kitty, seems like. And then he's just like overly into Josh. And I thought she already kind of like let him down. It's like, no, bro, like, I really into my boyfriend Dex. He's super hot. Like, I don't know, like, why he's just like doing this. So, I mean, either he's super into Josh and can't let that go, or is someone like paying him to like be lurking around Josh? I don't get it. It's weird. It's creepy. I don't know.
But see, here's the thing that I'm kind of wondering now is because, first of all, he got a, what, 92.5 on his exam. And, you know, he's kind of freaking out about that because he thinks his parents are going to... His parents are going to kind of be upset with it with a 92.5, which is still an A or an A minus.
Something is psychologically not right up there. For sure. I think.
You're exactly right. Sorry, I'm something. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I don't necessarily know. But then at the end of the week, you see how he's pulling out. It looks like he's pulling out his hair. So is he kind of, I don't know. I'm still not understanding. Is it going to be a storyline where he's kind of like having a mental break and Joss is going to help him through it? Or is it going to be another kind of stalker gimmick storyline? I'm not exactly sure where that's going.
It's bizarre. And I feel like if he's going to start stalking Joss, like Dex is going to shut that down like instantly. Yeah.
Especially because they're in the same dorm.
I'm sorry, dude. You have no chance with Joss. She's got a super hot boyfriend who must have like the best sex ever because they're always like they're very sexually active. They're the most sexually active pairing I think I've seen on this entire show, to be honest with you. No, I mean, at first I kind of knocked them for it, but now I'm like, all right, I get it. You know, they're in their 20s. You know, this is what you do like when you're young and you. Yeah. But I just, the whole thing is just weird. So it's going to be interesting to see how it develops and where it goes. But the dude's got no chance with Joss in the romance department. So sorry, bro, but not going to happen. I don't know. I guess this dude has no other friends. So he's just got to lurk around Joss's dorm all the time.
Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah, I'd say that too. All right. I think that's about it. Willow did have another dream of Harmony. Have we figured out yet who Harmony's trying to warn her about? Is it about? I think she's warning her about Michael. Honestly.
You know what? I was thinking that today. I was watching today, and Willow, I think, was telling Michael about the dream and. And she's like, I think she said something like, I don't know if it was today's episode, but she was like, I think
Friday's episode
trying to tell me something about someone lying to me. And Michael's like, well, who do you think it could be? And I'm like, I think it's you, bro.
Yeah, I think Harmony is trying to, because she and Nina are kind of getting past their differences. Obviously, she's going to be a little upset when, you know, when she finds out that Nina's the one that pointed the SEC in the direction of Drew. But, you know, it's like Drew was the one that took the fall for Carly. Carly was the one that was in the wrong. Drew, you know, took the fall for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, I kind of like that Nina put Michael in his place and said, listen, Carly's done all this stuff. Carly actually did break a law, you know, committed a crime with the insider trading, you know, she's never been held accountable for anything. And yeah, that comes off as whining. She didn't do it. You know, Nina didn't do anything illegal. It was petty. It was just like, you know, oh, well, Carly never gets away with this. And, you know, she didn't tell me what my, you know, early enough about my daughter, Nell, and I could have helped change her. And she didn't tell me about Willow being my daughter until the absolute last minute. So it's like, you know, I just wanted Carly to be held accountable. Drew was the one that, you know, put himself in that situation and yada, yada, yada.
Justifying. Yeah.
So I think that I kind of think that Willow will be upset, but I think she'll kind of see Nina's perspective. And, you know, and I really think that it's Michael that's going to be the oddball out, you know, once Willow learns about what Nina is doing, or what Michael's doing to Nina in terms of keeping her away. And I swear on Thursday's episode, I wanted to slap Michael every time they showed him when Nina was talking to Willow or the kids, and he was just standing there with his puss on his face and like bearing, you know, death holes through Nina with like, you know, daggers coming out of his eyes. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I just wanted to slap Michael. I'm sorry. I literally wanted to slap him.
Yeah. He's, thing is, with Michael is, I can take him or leave him a lot of times. And this, he's very set on this vendetta against Nina right now.
Yeah.
And I get it. He just learned a pertinent piece of information about it, about her. But he didn't really like her much before the whole SEC thing that he found out. So it's just, bro needs to like put that energy somewhere else. Like go to the gym. I don't know. Like, bro, just tone it down like a little, little bit.
And being the CEO of Aurora Media, I mean, you would think he would have more work that he's supposed to be doing rather than worrying about, you know, Nina and keeping up this blackmail. But
100%.
All right. Well, I think we've gone over just about anything. Do you have anything else that you want to cover from last week's episodes?
I don't think so. Halloween was an interesting time. I think my highlights were definitely seeing the kiddos, definitely seeing Jake and Aiden.
Yep.
I actually didn't mind the Carly and Sam scenes. I think there was Carly and Sam scenes, right? We didn't really touch on that. They were good.
Yeah.
No, they were good scenes, actually. I enjoyed them.
They were really good scenes. And you know, it's like I like the friendship that Carly and Sam are building, although it seems one-sided because Sam is always going to check on Carly, but you never see the reverse.
Yeah.
But that's Carly for you.
I mean it's fine. I don't really care one way or the other, but I mean, it's nice to see that they can become friends after all the animosity in the past, which is something that I think Sam and Liz could get to that place. And I honestly think Carly and Liz could get to that place too. And they have had some nice friendly conversations in the past. So I think they could get past all of that past animosity and actually be friends. Like, I think I would actually like to see Carly, Liz, and Sam all be friends. I think that'd be really interesting. But some people would fight me on that on Twitter, and that's fine. It's okay. Everyone's got their own opinion. But I just think it would be nice at least a season. I don't know.
It would just be nice. It out there. I mean, obviously, all three of the ladies have had their problems, being one thing in particular, the fact that Jason was in a relationship with all three of them at one point in time. But, you know, and it's like, so we finally, you know, so originally, Carly had a bite bullet and go to Liz about getting the kidney for Joss. Obviously, you know, thinking it was from Jake. Obviously, that turned out to be Nell. We know that Sam and Carly have had their issues because of Jason. Because, you know, Carly was always jealous of Sam because she was in overprotective of Jason. And then we know that Sam and Liz have had problems because of Jason as well. So I agree. They should all become friends now that Jason is not in the picture, you know, and kind of put their differences aside. Although, you know, only Carly is the one that is with Jason Light at this point in time, being with Drew. And then, you know, we know how Drew came into Port Charles, and that was with Liz, with Jake Doe, or Jason as Jake, or Drew as Jake Doe, and then thinking he was Jason. So that was a whole convoluted mess in itself. But that kind of brings us to the end of our episode.
Yes.
Before we move on, before we end the show, let's go into our thankful minute. Of course, this is a time where we take 60 seconds and just, you know, Christy and I share what we're thankful for in our lives. It could be from either this past week or in general. And as always, I always go ladies first. So, Christy, I'm going to start the timer, and your time starts now.
Okay. Well, I am very thankful that I did get to go to the dinner in Staten Island this past weekend to see Becky, of course, and Maura and Lisa. I had never actually met Maura and Lisa in person, so that was wonderful. I was blessed to be sitting with all of those ladies. To be sitting with Maura West was really interesting for me because I was like, I'm right here by Ava Jerome. This is amazing. And I loved my time there, and I got to meet another internet friend who I know because we're both fans of Camila from Days of Our Lives. So it was a lovely time for me. I had an amazing 24 hours, an amazing trip. And, you know, now I'm back. I've got some energy back this week, which is good because I was feeling like a little bit like I was dragging before New York. But, yeah, I think that's probably brings me up to a minute. So I'm very happy with everything in the past week. Very thankful.
Yeah, it does bring you up to a minute, and that's great. And speaking of Camila on Days, she's in a pickle herself. This is probably her swan song.
Jason Morgan just arrested her on Days. He's not really Jason Morgan, he's some other character.
Yeah,
but that was a little weird to see that.
it really was. But she's the latest cut from Days that's going to be taking her exit from Salem. All right, my turn. I'm gonna go ahead and do my thankful minute as well. I'm thankful just to have the opportunity to be able to go out to Ohio last week, just for a few days. I'm not gonna be going out there permanently. It was to consult on a hotel and kind of see a new place, a different area of the country. It is very rural out in that area. I am thankful to be home, you know, back to Connecticut, back to home. It was nice to be able to spend the night on Saturday in Hershey and, go to Chocolate World. And then I'm very thankful for Waffle Houses, considering I had breakfast at Waffle House on Sunday in Allentown. You know, outside of that, I am very thankful for just being able to drive and being able to keep up with all the soaps at this point in time now. But that brings me to a minute. So that's my thankful minute. Anywho, we're just about done with this episode. Thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in. This will be up on the podcast feed tomorrow, being Tuesday. And also go ahead and make sure to click the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications, and stay tuned for more episodes and more shows coming out. I might end up changing this specific show on Monday nights to the Port Charles news instead of just Suds news. and, you know, come up with something like that, because, well, all we talk about is General Hospital for the most part. But either way, thank you all for watching, listening. That is Christy. I am Vinny, and we will see you next Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here live on Suds News, Port Charles News, wherever you want to call it. And have a great time, everybody. Have a great week.
Good night.
Okay, and that is that.